Amen. Brother Frank, you don't know how tempted I was to pop out of there to start preaching. I did not. Boy, it's good to be in the house of God this morning, isn't it? Excited for what the Lord has for us. I pray that your heart is open and ready for how the Spirit wants to speak, because we're going to continue talking about church this morning, about how the Lord Jesus Christ is building His body. And the reality that we have looked at for all of these weeks of our study is simply this. It's that church matters. Church matters. It matters. Amen? Church matters. And just a little bit, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to pray about some really specific things this morning. I'm going to invite some of us, if we would, to come and pray down around the altar. Some of us to pray, if we want to, at our pews there. But I'm going to invite all of us this morning to in our hearts and in our spirits, move in just a little while and pray for some things, because church matters. It is the body of Christ. The church is here to display the beauty of Christ. Church matters. Church matters more than your favorite sports team does. Church matters more than your career trajectory. Church matters more than your political ambition. Church matters. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, is building His church, and not even the gates of hell shall prevail against it. Hey, that's good news. I don't see a lot of good news out there these days, but that's good news. No matter what goes on in this world, the Lord Jesus Christ is building His church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And that's why it is so important that we are clear on the church. Church is not just something that we attend, but it is that institution, it is that organism that we are. And so this morning, I want to look at the element of bodybuilding that describes our bond in Christ. Not our bond like shackles. We're not imprisoned in the church. No, but our bond to one another as the body of Christ. And in our study, we have seen the relationship between the body and me. That we are the body of Christ. We've seen the relationship between the body and the Master, and that we are here to display the beauty of Christ. But today we will see the relationship between the body and the other members, because we are bodybuilding our bond in Christ. I want you to look with me. We're going to draw most of our teaching from verse number 16 this morning of Ephesians chapter number 4. If you don't have a Bible, there's one there in the pew in front of you that you're invited to use and look at. And if you need a Bible, you're invited to take that one as well as our gift to you. But Ephesians 4 in verse number 16 says this, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Can we note first this morning, as we consider our bond in Christ, that we are fitted together. That we are fitted together. In the Lord Jesus Christ, in the Spirit of the living God, the whole body of Christ is fitly joined together. So what happens here? When you and I come to faith, when we individually place our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says that we are then placed, or the Bible uses the term, baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ. 2 Corinthians 12 in verse number 13 puts it this way. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, we have all been made to drink into one Spirit. And so when we come to Christ by faith, we are placed or fitted into the body by the Lord as He wills. A few verses later in 1 Corinthians 12 verse number 18, the Bible says this, but now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it pleased the individual. No. As it pleased the pastor. As it pleased who, church? Him. And so when we come to Christ by faith, we are placed into the body of Christ, fitted into the body by the Lord as He wills as he desires. So we are fit together by faith in salvation. The Bible teaches here that we are then held together by elements of that same faith. You know, there's no good reason that church should work. Look around you this morning. Don't worry, I'm not going to ask you to tell your neighbor they look fabulous. Look around you this morning. There are a lot of differences in this room. Differences in age, differences in ethnicities, differences in physical abilities, differences in socioeconomic statuses. There are a lot of differences in this room. And I'm going to tell you, physically speaking, there is no good reason that church should work. Except that in the power of God, there is something greater than our differences that holds us all together. Let me make this statement. The strong bonds of unity that you and I experience in the body of Christ are found and maintained in what we believe. Not in spite of what we believe, but because of what we believe. You know, there are many out there that think, well, in order to get greater unity, we just need a greater understanding of psychology. We need a greater understanding of demographics. We need a greater understanding of this or that or the other. Some feel we need a greater programs to touch the felt needs of the culture. But bodybuilding unity doesn't come from any of this. Nor, I'll make this statement, does bodybuilding unity come from stale tradition. Sometimes we're prone to idolize the past, aren't we? That we've always done it that way. We've always done it this way. You know, the fact that we have always done something a certain way isn't the basis, isn't the bond that holds us all together. Because you and I are not called to love a form of truth. You and I are called to love the God of truth. And so as we want to understand unity and how we are fitted together, it doesn't come when we step back and we want to understand psychology and demographics and all of these different things about one another. That's not the basis of our unity primarily. It doesn't come where we all just plant ourselves under some sort of a stale tradition. It's not where it comes from. The Bible teaches that strong bonds of bodybuilding unity begin with faith, and that the truth and the doctrine that comes with it. I want you to notice Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to be in Ephesians 4 a lot today. Look at verse number 3. The Bible says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, pause right there, Luke. That word bond there, it again brings back to mind the body illustration. And that word, it has the idea of the ligaments, the tendons, those things that hold the bones and the muscles together. Well, what are those bonds that bring us peace? Look at verse 4. It begins to define it. For there is one body, and there is one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. Verse number 5, the Bible says, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Verse number 6, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. In other words, what? What are those bonds, those ligaments and tendons that hold the body of Christ tightly together? It is the doctrine that the Bible teaches. It is what you and I believe. You know, there's a lot of talk out there. Well, doctrine divides. Yes, it does. It divides truth from error. It divides right from wrong. It divides life from death. You better believe it divides, and that is why it brings the body tightly together. You see, we want unity and understand how we are fitted together. We are fitted together by faith, and then we are bound together in our faith. Right doctrine is the foundation that stands the storms and tests of time. I love the illustration that Jesus gave. Luke chapter 6, 47 through 49. You can just kind of run them on the screen there, Luke. as Jesus told of those who would come and hear his sayings, as one who would build their house upon a rock, and the winds came and the storm came and it beat upon the house. But the house that was built upon the rock, built upon the teachings of Jesus Christ, it stood strong. The foolish man built his house upon the sand, rejected the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, and his house fell. And the fall of it was great. You know what holds the church together? It is the fact that we are fitted together in faith, and that our bond remains in faith. It is found in what we believe. One body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. It is what we believe that holds us together. Now, ligaments and tendons are important. When I was in high school, one of my ligaments decided not to do what a ligament was supposed to do. And I can remember I was a sophomore in high school, and I was on a youth outing, and we were playing flackle football. That's when the rules state you pull the flags, but in reality you tackle them in order to pull the flags. So we were playing flackle football, and I can remember I was going to blitz the quarterback. And he said, "Hike," and I charged in, and I went to cut, and I went this way, and my knee went that way. And I remember laying there, not to be too graphic, but it stuck. You know, like sometimes it wobbles and goes back. No, not me. My knee was here. That part of my leg was here. And I was going, "Ah!" It was awful. Awful. Because when ligaments aren't where they're supposed to be, and ligaments aren't as strong as they're supposed to be, buddy, you can end up in a world of hurt in a hurry. So what is it that keeps us fitted together and strong? It is what you and I believe. Doctrine matters, church. Truth matters. Discerning between right and wrong, truth and error, what is righteous and what is wicked, it matters. Because spiritually, you cannot body build without having those strong bonds and ligaments. But how many of us recognize there is a danger of great deception? We read verse number 14 earlier today, where the apostle admonishes that we henceforth be no more children tossed through to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. In other words, we see it quite often where believers who are not grounded and founded in their faith, they are tossed here and there by different doctrines and men who lie in wait to deceive. And if the body becomes deceived with false doctrine, the body is in big trouble. You know, there is a danger of being tossed around like a small child on the ocean. You need to be careful who you listen to. You need to be careful who you read after. You know, the Bible teaches that salvation is by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and His finished work. Period. 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 You know, there's a popular so-called evangelical teacher that made the statement a little while ago. Actually, just probably a couple of weeks ago. He said he was concerned because there were so many different, you know, variations of people saying what the gospel was. And he said, well, the problem is at some point it doesn't become the gospel anymore. I'm going to go a whole lot farther than he did. Paul said, if we change it at all, it's not the gospel anymore. And Paul said, if I or anyone else preach any other gospel unto you, let him be anathema. Let him be accursed. You see, doctrine matters. Doctrine matters. Salvation by grace through faith. Doctrine of the church matters. Doctrine of authority matters. Doctrine of all of these things. It matters. It matters. It matters. And Church, what you and I need to do to maintain our bond in Christ is to strengthen our grasp on what God has done and strengthen our grasp on what God has said, because we are fitted together. We are framed together in and by our faith. Fitted together. Our bond in Christ. Can I show you something else about our bond in Christ? Not only are we fitted together by that doctrine. Look at verse number 16 again. The Bible says, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted. Notice what it says. By that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. In other words, as we consider our bond in Christ, we not only need to consider that we are fitted together, but we also need to consider this morning that we function together. That we are designed to function together. We are fitted into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. We are held together by truth of Christ. We are held to one another. We are designed to be connected and to function one with another. Now, can I give you one way to look at this? One way to look at this is we're stuck together. We're stuck. Look around you again. Don't worry. I'm not going to ask you to tell your neighbor they look fabulous today. We're stuck together. Now, some of us struggle with that. Some of us, we look at that and we struggle with that and we cringe in our spirit. Oh, but I've got even more news. If you struggle with that, we're not just stuck together here and now. We're stuck together forever. Like for all of eternity. So it only makes sense that we learn to embrace the beauty of what God has fitted together. Amen? That we don't let ourselves settle on the idea that we're stuck together, but we learn to rejoice and embrace what God has done. Hey, Christian, God has never called anyone to be a Lone Ranger style Christian. God has never ordained that somebody have to go and do it on their own. You know, even the Apostle Paul. Now, a lot of times we picture the Apostle Paul as kind of a trailblazer, as kind of that one who set out to take the name of Christ where it had never been heard before, and the Apostle Paul was going to press through. But you stop and understand biblically, the Apostle Paul did everything he did connected to and through the local church. You know, before the Apostle Paul ever went on his missionary journey, do you know what happened? Acts chapter 13 and verses 1 through 3. Bible says this. Now, they were in the church that was at Antioch. So we have a local church. Certain prophets and teachers and Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. Verse number 2, and they ministered to the Lord and fasted. And the Holy Ghost said to this local New Testament church, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, the Apostle Paul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and they sent them away. So when the Apostle Paul went out on his missionary journey, he went out how? He went out sent by and through a local church. You know what happened when Paul finished his missionary journey? You go to the next chapter, Acts chapter 14. After he had gone to a number of cities doing what? Founding local churches. And Acts chapter 14 and verse 16, the Bible says, and they sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And so understand this, God has ordained and designed that we function together. God has not called you to be a Lone Ranger, nomad style Christian, where you just wander the desert of this world on your own. No. God has called us to function together. To function together. And I got good news. God knew what He was doing. When God connected us, He not only connected us with truth that was greater than our differences, the Bible also teaches that God gifted us so that together we would be greater than our weaknesses. Let that sink in. He's given us truth that's greater than our differences, and He's gifted us so that together we are greater than our weaknesses. There are a number of passages in the Bible that talk about the spiritual gifts that God gives to us. Romans 12 is one of them. It talks about the spiritual gifts that God gives to individuals and to the church. 1 Corinthians 12 is another one where the Lord talks about the gifts that God has given to the church. He mentions it here in Ephesians 4. Here in Ephesians 4, instead of being the individual gifts, he talks more about the corporate gifts. Verse number 7, he talks about how He has given us grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. In verse number 11, he defines some of those gifts that He's given to the church. And He gave or gifted some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. But whether it's individual gifts, like God has given to you as an individual, or whether it's corporate gifts, like God has given the offices of the church, understand this. Why did God gift to the church? Did He gift to the church so that you could just have the gift of hospitality and welcome many folks into your fine home? Did He do that for you? Well, He may have gifted you with hospitality, but it's not about you. Why did God gift the church with apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers? Well, is it just so that people like me could have a job? No. That's how He gifted the church and some of those gifts that spiritually He's given to me, but it's not about me. Because if you look and see why the Lord has gifted us the way that He has, we find the answer in verse number 11 and 12. Verse number 12 says why He gave it to us. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of what? For the edifying of the body of Christ. He has gifted us so that together we are greater than our weaknesses, and so that together we can build up the body of Christ. Now here's the thing about differences. Differences will either add to the depth of this church body, or it will foster discord within the church body. It'll either add to the depth of who we are, or it'll foster discord among us. How many of us recognize it's easy for us to write off one another because we don't understand, or because we wouldn't have handled it the way they did, or because we don't feel like we have a lot of common on the surface? But while it's easy to write off each other sometimes, the deep reality is we need each other. We need each other. I love this illustration. I've shared it before. But the illustration of the toolbox. One day, in the carpenter's toolbox, the tools were unhappy one with another. And so they came together to try to figure out what the issue really was. As they came together, somebody raised their voice, "I'll get us started today. I think the hammer is the problem. He's so noisy. He's so brash. And he's always trying to force his own way on everything with his hard-headedness." The hammer said, "Well, if you ask me, I think the saw is the problem. I mean, look at him. He can't figure out what he wants to do. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Make up your mind." Saul said, "Well, excuse me." He said, "I think the plane is the problem. That planer, all it does, it's so shallow, just right across the surface, never any depth, never anything that really makes a difference. I think the plane is the problem." The plane said, "Have you looked at the screwdriver lately?" All he does is spin in circles, round and round and round and round he goes. Screwdriver says, it's not my fault. Look at the ruler. So judgmental. Always measuring people by his own standards. The ruler said, how dare you? It's not my fault this place is such a mess. Consider the sandpaper. All he does is rub people the wrong way. Sandpaper said, it's not my fault. Look at the drill. He's so boring. And round they went. But in actuality, when the carpenter entered the room and began to pick up each tool and use each tool in its own way for its own specific function and purpose, in the carpenter's hand, each served a unique purpose to create a masterpiece. Church, we are designed to function together. And we can sit around comparing ourselves and criticizing each other, or we can rejoice in the fact that together and only together can we truly get the job done as God desires. The Apostle Paul put it this way in 1 Corinthians 12, beginning in verse number 14. He said, for the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? And if the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? But now God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleased him. Verse number 21, the Bible says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Look at verse number 24. For our comely parts I have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part which lacked, that there should be no schism, no fracture, no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one of another. You see, our ability to display the beauty of Christ and to do the work of the Father is found in our differences. It's found in our distinct giftings within the body. The differences that you and I experience are meant for our cooperation, not for our competition. They're meant to complete us, not for us to compare among ourselves. I'm going to tell you, church, God has gifted you to be a part of the body of Christ. God has gifted you to be a part of the body of Christ. Teenager, hear me. Let no man despise thy youth. God has gifted you to be a part, a functioning part of the body of Christ. Mom and dads, hear me. I know life is crazy, but God has gifted you to be a functioning part of the body of Christ. Hey, grandmas and grandpas, seniors, hear me. God has gifted you to be a functioning part of the body of Christ. And we cannot function how we ought unless we are all functioning together for the glory of God. We learn to delight in our neighbor's gifting and function as we develop our own. Fitted together to function together. Fitted together to function together. We're fitted together to function together. But I want you to notice how verse number 16 ends. It says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. You with me this morning? Say amen. Amen. You guys have listened well. Got one more point this morning. Point number 3. Not only are we fitted together, not only do we function together, but we fellowship together as well. We fellowship together as well. Making increase of the body. That's bodybuilding, church. Unto the edifying, the building up of itself in love. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago, that you and I, we long for community. We long to be known, to be accepted, to be supported. And the Lord created us for this. We see it all the way back in Genesis 2. But we also understand that the Lord provided for this. And it is church. It is that fellowship that we experience in church. Now, I'm going to make a statement, and I want you to understand it, and especially as we defend it biblically, that only those fitted and functioning can truly understand fellowship. Only those fitted and functioning can truly understand fellowship. Why? Because fellowship means shared life. It means shared life. You know what that means? Fellowship is so much more than a church service. If all you have a couple times a month is a church service, you are missing out on real fellowship. Fellowship means so much more than food. If all you do is church a couple times a month, a service a couple times a month, and you show up for root beer float night, which we're having, by the way, end of August, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Wonderful. We're going to combine that with our small group ministry expo. It's going to be great. More details to come. Anyways, back to the message. If all you get is a service, if all you get is a root beer float, I know we call those church fellowships, but you are missing what fellowship is really all about. Because you see, fellowship is shared life. By the way, if church is about you, you are missing what it's all about. Because fellowship is shared life. Can we go back to the body illustration? I cannot think of too many occasions where a part of my body demanded attention that was a good thing. Oh, my back demands attention. Not a good thing. My knee demands attention. Not a good thing. The crooked little finger occasionally still demands attention. Not a good thing. The other day I was riding the bike and my whole arm went numb. I don't know why. Not a good thing. I can't think of too many instances where a part of my body said, "Hey, pay attention to me," where the body was really functioning how it ought. And so if church is about a service, you're missing it. If church is about the occasional food thing, you're missing it. If church is about you, you're missing it. Because fellowship is shared life. It is sharing joy and pain. It is sharing success and failure. It is mentoring one another. It is modeling for one another. It is sacrificing for one another. It is striving together with one another towards a common goal. Fellowship is bearing one another's burdens. Fellowship is being one another's blessings. Paul put it this way, 1 Corinthians 12:24-27, he says, "For our comely parts have no need, but God has tempered the body together, giving it more abundant honor to that part which lacked." Verse number 25, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And if one member suffer, what is it? All the members suffer with it. Or if one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now are ye the body of Christ and members in particular. Fellowship is shared life. And when we share life, we strengthen and build the body. When the body is built up, we all win. When the body is built, we all win. That's why verse 16 admonishes that making increase of the body unto the edifying, the building up of itself in love. You know what true fellowship is, church? True fellowship is that recognition that the body of Christ, fitted and functioning, is designed to provide structure, accountability, and support to our life. It demands that we take on the responsibility of our giftings and of our placement to build up one another. The sheet that we passed out before the service this morning, it is a listing of some of the one another's of the New Testament. The responsibilities that I have towards you and that you have towards me. And as you look around, that we each have towards every single one of us. Now, this is not all inclusive. But I'm going to tell you, the list that you see in front of you is more than enough to get you going. In other words, that means as we look at the body that God has placed us in, we ought to be at peace with one another. We ought to be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving toward one another. We ought not speak evil or slander one another. We ought use our gifts for the benefit of one another. We ought to love one another, serve one another, forbear one another, affectionately greet one another. Now, caveat on that, okay? You look at those verses and it'll say, greet one another with a holy kiss. Do not come in tonight or next week, okay? No. It means we affectionately greet one another. Different culture, slightly different application. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. It's my legal disclaimer right there. We ought to care for one another, be devoted to one another, bear one another's burdens, give preference to one another, regard one another as more important than ourselves, serve one another, be subject to one another, not judge one another or put a stumbling block in one another's ways, to speak the truth in love to one another, to comfort one another with the hope of Christ's return. We can go on and on and on and on. But I'm going to tell you this. I challenge you, add this to your devotion life. And not just say, well, I read that verse, that was a good verse. But then ask yourself, ask the Lord, Lord, how am I or can I live this out in the body you have placed me in? That's what fellowship is. It is shared life. Recognizing that the body that God has fit us to function in is to provide support to us, structure for us, accountability for us, and that we have a responsibility to receive ourselves in order to do this for one another. All of these things that we see in the scriptures are outworking of the love of God received by us, working in and through us for His glory. Do we want to have a close church? Yes or no? Do we want to have a deep bond in Christ? Yes or no? Then here's the reality. Intimacy demands involvement. Intimacy, true intimacy, demands involvement. And here's the thing about involvement. Involvement can be inconvenient. You know, typically when I get calls as a pastor, they don't come at convenient hours. You know, typically when the Holy Spirit lays something on our heart that we need to call somebody, write somebody, text somebody, visit somebody, give to somebody, serve somebody, how many of us recognize there's 100 other things on our to-do list we could do instead? But intimacy demands involvement, and though involvement can be inconvenient, it's worth it. Hey, in a month, we're going to have a ministry and small group expo. Starting back Sunday school, starting back small groups. We're going to do Sunday schools and small groups a little differently. We're going to have some on Sunday morning. We're going to have some on Sunday night. We're going to have some on Wednesday night. That's different, but that's okay. Right? Because we're not bound in stale tradition, not a form of truth, but the God of truth. Here's what I'm asking. Are you fitted and functioning, fellowshipping in the body God has placed you in? We need to figure out, how has God gifted me? Where can I function? Where is God going to place me so that I can learn and grow amongst my fellow believers? Church, we have got to take this seriously. It's more than a couple hymns and a 30 to 40 minute message and a couple verses of invitation, and we beat the Methodist to the buffet. Plug in. Invest. Ask God for a burden. Some of you go, well, I don't know where to start. I know about a dozen places where you could start. But here's what I'm going to ask. If God leads you to come and ask me or our staff, where can we fit in? Where can we help? Be open to where you can help. So often, where can I help? Well, you can help in A, B, C, or D. Nah. Work with me, people. That's all I ask. If you're looking for a burden and God hasn't given you a burden, then pick up one until He does. Plug in. Invest. This world is dying without Christ. This world is dying without Christ. This world is dying and people are going to an eternity without God and a devil's hell without Christ. But the body of Christ is hampered unless we're all on board. Fitted together. Functioning together. Fellowshipping together. You know, the true fullness of Christian living only belongs to those who are fitted and functioning and fellowshipping together. Those who understand that we are linked together in and for a common cause. There's a quote by C.S. Lewis that I think explains this beautifully. And I'm going to demonstrate this. Let me have Mr. and Mrs. Brown. I know that's dangerous. I did not ask them beforehand. Mr. and Mrs. Brown, I want you to come on up. I need you. And, I need somebody else. Give me George. Come on up, George. You're always willing to be used. C.S. Lewis, as he talked about fellowship, and he talked about functioning within the body, and he talked about us being fit and functioning and fellowshipping together, he talked about how it only belongs to those who realize that we are fitted together in order to function together, to share a life. Because here's the thing, when we think about lovers, that's you two, all right? Did you step out front? I'm still going to ask you to keep a respectful distance. This is church. You laugh, but I have memories, all right? When we picture lovers, those who are tied at the heart, how do we picture them? Exactly. We picture them face to face. I'm still not so far removed from college that we would at those people who just sat across the table and stared. It's awful. When we picture lovers, we picture them face to face. But when we picture friends, how do we picture them? Side by side. Give me your arm. Arms linked together. Because we're going somewhere. Because we've got a common cause. But because we've got a common purpose. C.S. Lewis put it this way, and I keep referencing this, that he said this, because you'll understand in a minute. He said, that's why pathetic people who only want friends can never find them. Because if you don't have anything, you can't share anything. And if you're not going somewhere, you can never have a partner for the journey. We're not here for this. I talk to a lot of church members who say, well, I just want friends. I just need friends. I just don't. I'm telling you, fitted, functioning, fellowshipping. And you will find you have something to share. And you will look up and you will find that you have partners with you on your journey. Fitted, functioning, fellowshipping. Thank you, guys. You may be seated. That was very helpful. Thank you, Mr. Brown, for keeping a respectful distance. Those who have nothing can share nothing. Those who are going nowhere can have no fellow travelers. Hear me. Church matters. Church matters. It is the home God has placed us in. It is an organism, that an institution that God has chosen to use. Church matters. And the reality that we are the body of Christ, that we are here to display the beauty of Christ, ought to shape our mindset, our message, and our mission. Fitted, functioning, fellowshipping. I want to say right now that if you're here, this whole thing of church, you know, it's not just a place and it's not just coming and sitting in a pew. No, it is knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And if you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you don't know that your sins have been washed away by His blood, that you have a home in heaven. If you don't know for sure this morning you're saved, I want you to know that God loves you, that God sent His Son to die for you, to rise again, that you might live. This morning, as we talk about building the body of Christ, one of the glorious ways that the Lord builds His body is that He brings people in. This morning, if the Lord is speaking to you and you know you're not right with Him, could I beg you, implore you, get that settled today. For church, this morning I'm going to ask that we pray. Because church matters. Church is the pillar of ground of truth. It is the most important institution in any society. The reality is this morning there are some here who know they need to take the next step. You know, we talked about Sunday schools and small groups. You know you need to get plugged in. This morning, I want you to come and I want you to commit to God that you are going to take that step. There are some this morning who all it is a service for you. And you know you need to take that next step. This morning, would you commit to God that you are going to take that next step? To be fitted, to function, fellowship together. There are some this morning, and we've talked about this every week, who still feel so disjointed because of COVID and being apart and all of those things. You know what? We can sit and we can bemoan how disjointed we feel, or we can commit to God that by His grace and for His glory, we're going to get connected again. This matters. Some of us this morning, we know we need to look beyond ourselves. When you come to church for you. This morning, could we come and pray? I'm going to tell you this morning, there are some, every time we talk about church, they struggle because they have so much baggage in their lives from that other pastor or that other church or maybe even this church, I don't know. But the baggage in our hearts weighs us down from moving forward. It is time that we unload the baggage and that we move forward for the cause of Christ, because church matters. I wonder this morning if some would even just come and pray that the Lord would continue to build His church and that the Lord would use you to do it. The Lord is serious about His church. We ought to be too.